am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were
racist.
You
were racist.
He said he was.
You are very racist.
He said he was.
You're going to be dealt with.
He said he works for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Radio, you're tuned in live this Friday, May 6th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. I guess we survived Cinco de Mayo, which is always interesting. Mother's Day is coming up. That's an important day. Make sure that you squeeze a mom, hug a mom, hug your own mom if you can, and say thank you. You know, there's plenty to be grateful for. There's the gift of life, first of all. That's wonderful. And I talked the other day about the subject of abortion and things like that, and I won't dive into that. But, you know, let's leave it at squeeze a mom and say thank you. You know, if you have the privilege and opportunity of squeezing your own mom, definitely do that and say thank you for the gift of life among the myriad gifts that we receive from mothers, including our own mother, including and especially, obviously, our own mother. So maybe Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his highest today. The entry for today in my copy is Liberty on the Abyss of the Gospel. Quoting Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You know, the world is going crazy. Have you noticed? You probably have noticed, right? I mean, we're descending into madness, but really not descending. And that makes it sound like it's some natural organic process. I think there's a very spiritual element or aspect to it, but there's a very sort of literal scientific military outworking of it. It's so fascinating. I talked recently about how, well, not recently, it's been a while, I guess, but you know, I've mentioned in the past about how the experts, sociologists, anthropologists, the folks who understand the nature of human behavior and stimulus and response and those kinds of things better than most of us, they say things like, you know, a regimented society lends itself to a form of militarism and a scientific dictatorship, specifically, you know, sports and things. These sports that are regimented more and more, and organized, you know, all of the organized sports, children, boys and girls are playing sports now at a younger and younger age, generally speaking, in they're participating in organized sports and regimented things, you know. Apparently we're trying to train professional football players at 4 and 5 years old now, or, you know, girls don't just go to gymnastics anymore. It's professional. It's Olympic, you know, training at 5 years old, you know, figure skating, whatever it is. It's all the same kind of thing. And it's ironic. The sociologists and the experts tell us that those kinds of things, especially in sports, are the handmaiden of a militarized society. And so you see evidence of this in the strangest places. Yesterday I was in a bank, small town bank, and there's the local picture of support for the town wrestling team. There's one high school in the town, and there's a picture of the wrestling team from a few years ago. You know, the bank obviously supports local athletics and so forth. And how many times have you seen this where there's the wrestling team or the football team or something like that, and on it, you know, it's, I forget what the slogan was. It was something very patriotic, obviously. You know, when fascism comes to America, it would be wrapped in a flag carrying a cross. It's very patriotic. And it has the wrestling team, but also something about the National Guard. That half the picture is, you know, National Guard, the other half is wrestling. I don't quite understand how those go together in the way that was alleged or purported, but it seems to validate the point. And so, you know, along with that comes a certain Machiavellian mindset, a certain Nietzschean mindset, you know, a will to power, and the Nietzschean mindset is not absent of a certain godlessness and viciousness and so on. I've talked, you know, recently, the reminder of virtue, morality, and religion. We need more grace. We need more mercy. We need more love and kindness. And who represents that and embodies that more in society than moms? So, with Mother's Day in view this weekend, let's try to do right by moms, shall we? All right, so back to Oswald Chambers Miamos' First Highest, May 6th entry, Liberty on the Abyss of the Gospel. A spiritually, well, so quoting Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Free to what, though? A spiritually minded man will never come to you with the demand, believe this and that, but with the demand that you square your life with the standards of Jesus. We are not asked to believe the Bible, but to believe the one whom the Bible reveals. And he cross-references John 5:39 and 40. We are called to present liberty of conscience, not liberty of view. If we are free with the liberty of Christ, others will be brought into the same into that same liberty, the liberty of realizing the dominance of Jesus Christ. Always keep your life measured by the standards of Jesus. Bow your neck to his yoke alone and to no other yoke whatever. And be careful to see that you never bind a yoke on others that is not placed by Jesus Christ. It takes God a long time to get us out of the way of thinking that unless everyone sees as we do, they must be wrong. That is never God's view. There is only one liberty, the liberty of Jesus at work in our conscience, enabling us to do what is right. And again, you know, to echo that point, you know, the Bible says to him who knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What is sin? That's, in simple terms, that's what it is. There is only one liberty, the liberty of Jesus at work in our conscience, enabling us to do what is right. Don't get impatient. Remember how God dealt with you, with patience and with gentleness. But never water down the truth of God. Let it have its way and never apologize for it. Jesus said, go and make disciples, not make converts to your own opinions. Go and make disciples, not make converts to your own opinions. So don't get impatient. Remember how God dealt with you with patience and with gentleness, but never water down the truth of God. It's interesting. Patience and gentleness, you see it in peculiar places. Elijah calls down fire from heaven. And you would think the way that that plays out, I mean, your confidence would just be sky high. Wow, this is amazing. How did this happen? Today, obviously, there's some natural way to explain it away and probably geoengineer it more precisely than we see in the biblical examples, which is not to say that you could out, that, you know, bad guys could outdo God. Not possible. But, you know, it's that gets back to that old joke, right? Chuck Messer used to tell that joke. Scientists come to God and say, we can make creation. We can make everything in creation. We can do exactly what you did. All we need to do is, you know, we get a little dirt and God says, wait, get your own dirt. So, you know, there's that. But Elijah calls fire down from heaven. You would think, seeing how that whole situation plays out, that his confidence would be sky high. And that is not the case. So he's sort of taunting these guys even as this is happening. And I mean, if you're familiar with the story, I'll mention it, I think. 1 Kings 18, Elijah's challenge to the priests of Baal. Now, it came about after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show yourself to Ahab. Ahab was married to one of the daughters of Tyre, basically. And the, you know, this is where the word tyrant comes from, is one of the etymological speculation, that's not the word, but for lack of a better word, speculation. So this lady is, you know, well, Nietzsche would be proud. Machiavelli would be proud. Let's just put it that way. So, the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, go show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the face of the earth. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it came about when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water. Then Ahab said to Obadiah, go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we will find grass and keep the horses and mules alive and not have to kill some of the cattle. So they divided the land between them to survey it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And you're already getting the impression that, you know, the king is not necessarily the king. He's sort of a figurehead, you know, and the real power behind the throne is, well, somewhere else. Now, as Obadiah was on the way, Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is this you, Elijah, my master?" He said to him, "It is I. Go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here." He said, "What sin have I committed that you are giving your servant into the hand of Ahab to put me to death? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent to search for you." And when they said, "He is not here," he made the kingdom or nation swear that they could not find you. And now you are saying, "Go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here." It will come about when I leave you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you where I do not know. So when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me, although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Has it not been told to my master that I did what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, that I hid 100 prophets of the Lord by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water? And now you're saying, "Go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here." He will then kill me. So Elijah responds to all of this. Obviously, Obadiah is very fretful. Not, "What are you doing, man? You're putting me in a real bad situation here." So Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Came about when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" He said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have. You and your father's house have. Because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals. Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And here's the challenge. Elijah came near to all of the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions?" Which seems to call to mind passages like James chapter 1. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? James chapter 1, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." You know, speaking of, the militarized society, the scientific dictatorship, and so forth, in which we find ourselves today in America, confirmation bias and you know, the form of cognitive bias, confirmation bias, and particularly effort justification, I think, conspires against us so many times, so many ways. I mean, you think of the person who goes through university. How many people are able to bite the hand that feeds them, so to speak, the way that, for example, Andrew Breitbart did, having come through this experience and then having a sort of delousing awakening where he says, "Now, wait a minute." And he goes back and reads all of that literature and starts to understand it for what it actually was doing to him and his peers and contemporaries. How many people are able to do that? How many more buy into it through effort justification? Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we are offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
My friend, is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
Welcome back. It's just amazing to me, you know, just as a parenthetical aside here, it's amazing, you know, the lessons that we forget. Honor your father and mother. That was one of the original 10, wasn't it? I seem to recall something about that. And yet, how many of us do that the way that we ought? I hope that we do so. I hope that we reflect. Heading into the weekend and Mother's Day, I hope that we do that. We can't control what others do, but we can certainly control our own behavior and actions in a way that, you know, few if any others can. Ultimately, we choose certain things, right? So honor your father and mother. You know, this is the first commandment with a promise. The Bible tells us that, you know, you may live long and prosper, essentially, you know, to borrow from Spock. But seriously, you know, this is the first commandment with a promise. Can you imagine? I mean, how is that a bad idea? Honor your father and mother. Well, you know, mom's not perfect, dad's not perfect, no one's perfect. What difference does that make? It's first commandment with a promise. You know, how is it bad for anyone to honor their father and mother? Mother's Day is in view. And, you know, this is one of the old, you know, can we call it an ancient boundary, which calls to mind Proverbs 22:28 and 23:10, respectively. Do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set. Do not move the ancient boundary or go into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their case against you. And, you know, the fatherless is an interesting concept when you start to think about a person's, you know, anyone's separation from their Heavenly Father, you know, without the intervention of Christ. So it's just interesting, you know, do not move the ancient boundaries. We have so many of those boundaries, you know. The military stuff, you know, speaking of ancient boundaries, Larry sends me this from Conspiracy Archive. What was Dr. Stan's domain name? It was RadioLiberty.com, wasn't it? And now that's, what is that? Something, somebody bought it. That's just heartbreaking, but Larry sends me Radio Liberty documents at Conspiracy Archive, conspiracyarchive.org/Radio Liberty/documents, which includes some of the interviews and stuff, which includes Anthony Sutton and his interview. And fascinating that you see, you know, this includes this interview that was conducted in the summer of 1980. And this piece says, you know, since that time, Professor Sutton has been unavailable for public appearances. Imagine that. Goes on to say, the material covered takes on an increasing significance today as we see the United States building up the military power and threat of the Chinese Communist government. So it's always the threat of superpowers, and we must escalate, dear comrades, because if we don't, we will be eclipsed by, you know, the great Satan somewhere or other. And so what does that do? You know, eventually we all become the great Satan, right? But we have to have a military power. And Chris, I understand what you're saying about, you know, the rise of militarism since the end of the Second World War and so on. But, you know, we have to have, don't we need, aren't we concerned about our security? Absolutely. And I think that there was something in those original documents, something to the effect of a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Someone observed somewhere that, you know, there's a gun behind every blade of grass in America. At one point, that was something that apparently others were aware of. Not the regulars. The regulars is something different. And we were warned about that, weren't we? We were warned about that, too. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Welcome back to the phones in a second with a final reminder. You know, speaking of those boundaries, lines that were drawn, we were warned. We were warned about virtue, morality, and religion. We were warned about, you know, Madison put it best, obviously, a standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign danger have been always the instruments of tyranny at home, always. And he... this was, you know, his speech during the Constitutional Convention. He went on to sort of flesh that out. Among the Romans, it was a standing maxim to excite a war whenever a revolt was apprehended. Throughout all Europe, the armies kept up under the pretext of defending have enslaved the people. and so on and so on. Someone on Reddit observed in the last couple of years, quoting Madison, this covers everything really, including germs, quote unquote, including germs, quote unquote, exclamation mark. And there are many other instances of reminders, you know, the Cato Institute, the Founders Foreign Policy by Christopher Preble, the Future of Freedom Foundation, Make Your Choice, Freedom or the National Security State by Jacob G. Hornberger back in 2013. John Whitehead's commentary over at the Rutherford Institute, America's Reign of Terror, A Nation Reaps What It Sows, and on the list goes of reminders. But, you know, we're too smart, we're too erudite and sophisticated for that these days in America. We don't need no stinking reminders. We're just far too sophisticated and cosmopolitan for any kind of reminders such as those. So I digress. To the phones we go. Pat in Texas, right?
Oh, hi.
Good morning, Pat. Welcome.
I'm glad you got me because when you go through several subjects, I kind of forget what I called for. But I was talking to one of my friends, and I know she watches Christian TV, so I quizzed her on different things, and that's what she didn't know about what I want to tell you about. Baal worship. America has turned into Baal worshipers. You know, Baal was a god where the women gave their babies to the fire, and if they didn't die, well, you can get a picture of it. Just put a picture on there, or ask for the picture of Baal, and how it's going on in this country is not just that people sold their soul to the devil, which they've done for money or fame, crazy mm-hmm. people.
Yeah,
but the point is that. They're pushing it all over, and I really wouldn't have known that if I hadn't have known that somehow Baal was worshipped under an ark or arch, like the one in Paris, the Arc de Paris, you know, and they got them where they tear them down and put them back up in this country. Different cities. You know all about this, Chris?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm sort of familiar with what you're talking about, but I mean, the subject of modern Baal worship is something that many people have written about. Folks can do a search, for example, you know, Baal worship today, and you can see several instances of people who've written about it, including what you're talking about specifically, but you know, also more generally, obviously. But yeah, the arch deal, you know, the passing under the arch, that's definitely a part of the articles. I'm not intimately familiar with that aspect, but you can see that in a number of articles.
And they put them up all over. And it basically makes the whole thing cursed.
And you could argue, I think, you know, if you read Tex Mar's Mysterious Monuments or other books like that, for example, it's not necessarily, you know, people, I think many people would be dismissive of what you're saying and say, well, you know, I don't see people passing under those kinds of things in observance of some pagan ritual, but two things. So you have the one you may be referring to is the Arch de Triomphe. Hold on a second. There are some that people pass under, actually, literally, like when they're driving and things. But more importantly, it's what it represents, kind of like the obelisks mm-hmm. that we see in certain places. You know, it's symbolism of something. So what does it represent?
Well, anyway, they're doing it, and they don't always have to have the ark there, but I remember back in the day when they said that there was, okay, Baphomet is the one that Baal is now. Baphomet. And it's a goat-headed man with goat feet. Well, I've already talked to you about this, so whether that cartoon was, making fun of the devil, but really, and you said it sounds like it, he's standing before heaven and the angel is saying, well, we don't, he's saying, I identify as an angel. And she said, we don't go for that stuff here. But anyway, they're literally can actually, in this day and time, worship a statue. And I don't know, it's just hard to believe, tell you the whole truth, but that's how bad off that this country has gotten. And people don't even know they're passing under it. They don't know it's going on. But the fact is, our ignorance is our fault. The church is not teaching it.
Yeah.
Why don't they teach it? Are they afraid that some of their people are going to run over and want to worship Baal too?
Generally speaking, it's probably Hosea 4, you know, and the admonition that Hosea gives in the beginning. It's a dressing down of the chain of command, effectively, that culminates in the statement that we all remember from verse 6, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Because there's no knowledge of God.
Right.
But see, we're not as bad off as a lot of people. When I say that, pray that the war will end, you know we're in a war, and mm-hmm. that we will win. We're just the wickedest country as any of them, but we're not. Because we have a whole generation of homeschool kids, which we may get another one thanks to COVID, but that's the ones that are following Trump. So we got a whole bunch of people that were trained up when they were young.
Well, I think the danger is hero worship, and worshiping any man or following any man is not, I think it's always ill-advised.
Well, I know that.
Per
but
se.
If right in now context. We're so bad off that and ignorance with the Christians, and then the other thing is that they men don't want to stand up for anybody else. They don't want to believe the Bible. They say I hear them calling and saying, "Well, if the Russians come take us over, I'm going to lay my gun down right away." Well, see, that's not. Given yourself for your fellow man. That's not what this country used to be. Mm-hmm. Even if everybody wants to say, oh, we're just in it to see how many people we can kill and how many weapons we can sell and all that. It's not true. That's not what they were there for. They were there because they thought they were defending the freedom, the right to speech, the right to all the, you know, the... whole shebang.
But again, it sort of goes back to my people perish for lack of knowledge. We've had these reminders. I mentioned James Madison. The means of defense against foreign danger have been always the instruments of tyranny at home. And we were exhorted not to institutionalize the regulars, so to speak, as it were. You know, the regulars is the Department of so-called defense, the War Department. And the militia was supposed to be the first line of defense, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the definition. Who decides what militia means anymore?
Exactly. It's a term that has been vilified and conscripted and subverted entirely. It is in the American contemporary lexicon and vernacular, it is a pejorative. You're a probably a domestic terrorist if you think that a militia is a good thing. That's what most people think because they've been conditioned to believe that, even though it's in our Second Amendment to the Constitution.
Let's go to back to the subject. The fact that we left our kids in the public pool rooms and we didn't train them up when they were young in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do that.
Right. And so there you go. If we would do that, We don't need to worry about any leader in particular or whatever. Good things happen just, you know, in the natural course of time and things if we do what you just mentioned.
Well, it doesn't say that they'll always be right, do the right thing. It says when they are old, they won't depart.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
You know, they need to keep them old. So,
but
if you
don't do that, then when they're old, maybe it's not even that they depart from that. It's that they don't know, and therefore, again, you know, it's the blind leading the blind and being intentionally misled in many cases,
part
as we see today.
Part of the know is wisdom, right? And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to start with the fear of the Lord. Oh, well, I don't want to scare them away from church. I don't want to tell them
it's
that.
It's a sense of reverence, yeah.
I don't want to tell them hell. I want to be like the Pope and tell them, there's no hell. Don't worry about it. There's no devil. But the Pope says.
Yeah.
Biden wants to go kiss his ring. Uh-oh. Yeah.
The fear of the Lord, according to the book of Proverbs, is the beginning of knowledge, is to hate evil, is the beginning of wisdom, prolongs life, is the instruction for wisdom, and so on and so on. Absolutely. And it's an appropriate reverence is what it is. It's not terror, per se.
No, you're wrong. I've looked it up in a Strong's Concordance in every way I can. And the way fear is terror. If you fear the Lord, you don't have to be afraid of a terrorist. If you have terror of the Lord, you don't have to be afraid of a terrorist.
Well, I'm gonna say that we are saying pretty much the same thing. You know,
the Lord has not got us nowhere.
I'm not talking about respect, but I'm going to respectfully disagree. I mean, you know, 1 John 4, for example, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. But,
well,
you know, I'm just going to say, I think we're saying something along the same lines. I'm misunderstanding that. I'll pray about that later.
Be aware that this Baphomet thing is out there. One time they put one on the courthouse lawn over here in Oklahoma, Capitol, and I thought, oh, my God. They took it and put it next door or something. But now we got a governor in Arizona who just passed his heartbeat law for Oklahoma, and along with 26 more states that are going to go along with that. So I'm just saying that maybe we'll all be smarter if we'll just give up on killing God's babies. Because see, permission to kill or to want to kill, well, there's all the violence that we have. It's just craziness anymore. You got to have respect for life, and that's what a baby is,
right?
You know, I mean, only thing that
so
you can look at now
to differentiate, you know, again from the book of Proverbs, like I said, you know, according to Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, etc., etc. Do you agree? The beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord?
Seven spirits of God, so it's just the fear of God.
Do you agree, Pat, with what I'm saying there? According to the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, etc., etc. So it's not the end of knowledge. Tony Evans, in that clip that we played earlier this week, actually articulated a great point, you know, the beginning, and it's maybe we'll play it in the second hour, what I'm talking about, but there's correlation here, you know, there is the fear of judgment. That's kind of what I'm getting at with the 1 John citation, but the greater motivation is love. When you realize, when you finally realize Romans 5:8, for example, God demonstrates his love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You want to do what Jesus said. You know, when he was asked, which is the greatest of the commandments? Well, obviously, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's when you start growing beyond the beginning, I would say, if I could, you know, take that liberty to say that. So that's why I'm saying, I think we're saying the same thing. It's you know, different aspects of the same thing, but I appreciate what you're saying. Anyway, we got other calls. Pat, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Appreciate your
call.
Thank
you.
Thank you. All right. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back. interesting stuff. So, real quick before we go back to the phones, Ron, sorry we lost you. Feel free to call back. You know, as far as the symbols and things are concerned, it's easy to get swept up in what some might call voodoo theology, and I would just caution against that. Not saying that anyone's doing that or advocating. I'm just saying sometimes it happens, sometimes entirely by accident. You find yourself doing things. I mean, I have talked in the last 12 months or so about a journey over the last 10 plus years that took me into dark places unintentionally. You know, I got to try to hide myself from this beast system, and it leads you to a very sort of cowardly, fearful place, and, you know, that fear not in a good way. So when it comes to this kind of thing, you know, it's I think important to, I don't know, just as a gentle reminder, I think of Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 in particular. It's what comes before the therefore is what's most important. But verse 16 says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or Sabbath day. Verse 17, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. And then there's also, you know, maybe there's, well, we don't want to cause, you know, another to stumble because of something that we do, even if inadvertently. Well, that's, again, that's a Romans 14 thing, I think. So, you know, each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. I'm just going to leave it at that. But, you know, it is interesting. So when it comes to abortion, I mean, it seems pretty clear that it's sacrificing children on the altar of vanity, if nothing else. And what happens to these poor murdered children? You know, I mean, we hear about, you know, different things. Vaccines come to mind, obviously. I would say stem cells, stem cell research, stem cell therapy, transplant, et cetera, that comes into view. Remember that video that Grace made titled Madeleine McCann and George Soros Look at Their Eyes? You know, John Podesta, Tony Podesta, Pedogate, Pizzagate, all that kind of stuff. There was a moment where we focused on that and we lost track of it. Anyway, there is a real aspect to this, and it's always presented, it seems, in plausibly deniable fashion. The Ark of Baal back in 2018 was one such controversy displayed. You know, it was a reproduction of the Ark of Palmyra. We talked about that on this broadcast. I think John in Tennessee mentioned it. That was one, and that, you know, that's dismissed. Snopes says, you know, no, that's not what it was, but actually it is. Snopes says it's true. So a photograph shows the Ark of Baal erected on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. So even Snopes says it's true. Was the Ark of Baal erected in Washington before Christine Blasey Ford's testimony? Even Snopes says it's true. So usually it gets dismissed, but in this case, even Snopes said it was true. So, but again, plausibly deniable. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Or just as an inquisitive mind like myself, what I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.